Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 442, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Halish. I'm joined today by Matthew Rodello from TechSiteBuilder.com. How you doing, Matthew?
Good, Jeff. How you doing?
I am doing excellent. Well, the reason Matthew has decided to come on the show today, or I invited him, was that we wanted to talk about some things as far as websites and what could help you in your business as far as what do you need for a website? You know, obviously everybody wants to know what it is I have to, that's going to be appealing to a customer so that they either call or, you know, are even going to go to my website or even be able to find me on the World Wide Web, which is huge. So Matt, I think from that standpoint there, why don't you go ahead and just kind of talk about some of the things that are absolutely needed for a good, viable website in today's day and age?
Yeah. So, just to give you a little background, I've been building websites since I was in high school, which was, you know, back before 2000. And back then I was, you know, creating them in HTML. That was back in like the AOL days.
Oh, wow.
I first got my start. And AOL had like some kind of website builder, you know, thing in there. And I would go in there and I would, you know, it was kind of, it wasn't drag and drop, but it was like, you know, put a red box here and put green text here. And I would do that. And then I would think to myself, I want a little bit more control over how it looks. So I would start digging into the code and I had no idea how to code. So I would just, you know, look up online how to do certain things in HTML and kind of taught myself how to build websites. And I love websites because it's a cool kind of combination between coding and visual style. So you can, I'm an artist, you know, and I like to construct things visually, but I also like to get in the back and tinker with the code and stuff. And I think websites are a cool way to kind of do both of those things. So, you know, fast forward to now, I've converted my consulting business, my computer consulting business into a WordPress and web consulting business. And then I've launched, on the side of that, I've launched TechSite Builder. So through all these years, I've building websites and tinkering with websites, I've kind of gotten to know, you know, what makes an effective website. And one of the first things you want to think about when you're creating a website or updating your website for your computer business is you just want to kind of take a step back and think, you know, what is the purpose of this website? And it's not going to be the same for everybody. You know, some people want a website to drive email, you know, people filling out a form. They want to get people to contact them via a form. Other people want the website up there to make it easy for people to call them. Sometimes people want the website up for informational purposes only. So you know, maybe somebody hears about you through some other means, like through an advertisement or something like that. But before they call you, maybe they want to look you up online to see what you're all about. So sometimes you want to have a website up for informational purposes. So you just kind of want to think about what the purpose of your website is. Now, I can tell you that for the average computer business, I would say probably the number one primary objective of your website is to get clients to contact you or to get visitors to contact you. And,
absolutely.
You know, there are different ways they could find your website, whether it's SEO or whether it's, you know, paid like AdWords or whether it's just a traditional advertisement in the newspaper and you have your website address there. And so then they land on your website, and then you want to think, you know, what's the purpose? The main purpose is, no matter how they got to my website, is I want them to call me for whatever service they need. So I think that's most likely to be the reason that that people are going to that you're going to want a website up in the first place.
Yeah, and I think from that standpoint is I want a lot of people, you know, regardless, a lot of people say, well, it really doesn't matter what the website looks like. And that's true for, you know, for some businesses. But I would say it, my number one goal is for customers to call the number right at the top in boldface text. And I just want them to call me so that they can actually talk to a real human being and I can sell them me as far as my service. But I also don't want a, I don't want them to come to a website that looks like it was built in the 90s. And, yeah. And not be aesthetically pleasing to the eye, because I think that can turn some customers off also.
Yeah. So, and you hit on it right there, right? The number at the top, big bold. And that's, you know, that's definitely what you want to make sure you have is your contact information, whether you choose to make it your phone number or an email or like a contact. I wouldn't put your email in plain text on a website. Because that's just ripe for spammers to take advantage of. So right. If you want people to email you, then have a contact form right there on the homepage. If you want people to call you, then have your phone number there in big bold at the top of every page. You know, that's another thing to keep in mind, that some people might be landing on your website on one of your pages, one of your sub pages, like one of your services pages or something like that. You want to make sure that every page has your contact information. I see some computer business websites where the phone number is big and bold right there on the homepage, but then if you go to one of their subpages, their phone number is nowhere to be found, or you have to scroll all the way down to the bottom of the site to get the phone number. So yeah, that's definitely one of the primary things is to whatever contact means you want them to be able to reach you at, that's big and bold at the top of your website, because you don't want them to miss that.
And I think, you know, when you're talking about headers, I think one of the important things or some of the important things are, number one, who are you? You know, and that's where I think sometimes, you know, we've all started off with a, you know, maybe just a text type logo, but for a very inexpensive price, you can actually get a logo built for you, you know, from several different people, either in the community or there's, you know, paid for services out there that I've used to create my logos. The other thing is the phone number. And then obviously, you know, I think if depending on the type of business you're doing, if you're doing an on-site business or you're doing a local home business or a shop, you definitely want to have location. And even if you're traveling out, I still think sometimes you want to have a general location, even if you don't have your full address, because I think you want people to know what city you actually are providing for, you know,
right. Whether it be you know, local you can city. Say like serving blah, blah, blah county, right. Or serving the greater blah, blah, blah area, yep. Or something like that. Yeah.
So in when you're going from web page to web page on your website, you want that at the point where they have read enough information that they're sold on you in making that contact, you want that contact to be there and ready available for them at any given point.
Yeah, exactly. And you hit on something else a minute ago, and that's the logo. And a lot of computer techs, me included, when I first got started, you know, fancy themselves as a graphic designer or think they can throw together a logo. And you might think it looks great, but trust me, visitors to your website will be able to tell that that's a homemade logo. And so, yeah, I definitely recommend even, you know, you can go to Fiverr or you don't have to spend a lot on a logo made by a professional graphic designer, because they know the little subtleties about kerning and weird things about typography that blow my mind when I hear them talk about it, that really like make the difference between a logo that looks professional and a logo that looks like you threw it together in 5 minutes on Microsoft Paint.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, my very first logo, and I still have it for nostalgia's sake. I bought a program. It was probably a $30 or $40 program at the time. And I can't remember. I think it might have been called Logo Creator. And I was just looking at it the other day. And, I took their you know, kind of their designs and stuff. And I think I had two balls that were revolving around each other or something. And I put a TN in there for TechNut for my business. And, you know, and I kind of came up with my color scheme, which was fine, which was the orange and blue, which I really liked. But then I moved on to where I had gotten a picture of an acorn a nut, and basically had my daughter go in, and she kind of filled in some spots on it to make it look like an acorn with a computer top. And then I finally said, you know what, let me go to a place like logoin.com. And I went there and basically, you know, had them create a logo. You can get a logo created for as low as $45 through Logoin. And nice. I paid $120 just because I wanted more artists and more renditions and more in unlimited changes. So I paid $120 to get that done. And, you know, we went through probably 3-4 iterations of the logo that I actually liked out of the 8 designers that were designing logos for me. And I picked the one I want. They did the reiterations and boom, we're on their way. And I will tell you that I needed a change and I couldn't find the font that they used. I scoured the web, couldn't find it. And so I went back to them and said, I need a change in one letter. And they actually did that for like $20. So, nice. Yeah, I mean, spend a little bit of money to get something that looks a little more professional. I think that goes a long way.
And your logo is cool. I love it. It's very professional. And I also like that it has like an icon with it. So you can use just that icon in certain situations.
Right.
And people will still associate it with your business and your brand. That's cool.
And that's, you know, and that's the other thing. So it depends on, you know, there's many different ways to, we're talking about websites of naming your business and different things like that. I wanted something that, you know, no matter whether I put it on my business card or I put it on my website or wherever, I wanted people to be able to look at it and go, oh yeah, you're that guy or you're that gal.
Yep.
That, you know, and so it was more about my logo really to me and even my name, because I've had people laugh at it and whatever, I don't care. But for me, it's about brand recognition. I want you to recognize me.
Memorable.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not, you know, I'm not Jeff's PC repair fix, which is fine. That works for some people. That's okay. It's not what I wanted for mine. So that's why I went a little bit. And again, it's not a whole lot of money. So if you're going to be doing this professionally and talking to your customers and stuff, you know, in my opinion, step it up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Definitely. You know, where you logo number one place to spend money. If you know, when we're talking about branding, and then after that, you know, probably just the website in general, the design or the hosting or whatever. But yeah, logo number one, because that's going to be the face of your business. So, so getting back to the website. So we're talking about, we basically talked about the header, right? The header is the top of the website. That's going to be what's showing on every page. So you want to make sure you have your contact info up there. And then thinking about the homepage, you know, as you're working your way down the page, what are some of the things you want to convey to the people who are visiting for the first time? So, of course, there's normally the navigation menu that shows under the header, and that shows the person who's visiting for the first time some of the different things they can learn. So if they want to learn more about your services, you should have a tab there for your services that they can go to. If they want to read more about the company in general, you know, you want to have the about page, contact page, all of that stuff. So that's how people can quickly get to different parts of your website. And then moving down the homepage, you know, there's different things you can do, right? The number one thing I recommend is to just keep things simple and clean. One of the biggest turnoffs for new visitors to a website, other than it looks horrible, is that there's too much information. You know, I've seen computer techs, they love to just throw all of the services they provide on the homepage, like, you know, virus removal, laptop repair, blah, blah, blah. And there's a list of like 50 things. And then they have a huge paragraph of, you know, hey, I'm Joe Tech and you know, I grew up in California and I went to high school here, and they like give their life story and all of this is going on the homepage, when really the customer just wants to, you know, quickly decide, is this business, is this someone I want to do business with? So
right.
keep it simple, keep it clean, and then focus on the differentiators, because, you know, yeah, there's thousands of computer businesses out there that do laptop repair. So what? You want to tell people what makes you different. So I'm actually using, Jeff, I'm using your website as an example.
Okay.
So if you don't mind.
No, that's fine.
So you have on the homepage, you have an image slider, which is cool because that's a way to succinctly, it forces you to be succinct, right? You only have so much room inside this image slider to say what you're all about. So really quickly, you have a picture of you, which I think is great. It builds credibility. It tells people that there's a real person behind your business. And then you have just a couple lines about what you do. You provide computer repair in Canton, Michigan, and it's risk-free, money-back guarantee. So that tells you right away what you do, who you are, what you're all about, really quickly, really professionally. And then below that, you have the three boxes where you provide quick information about what makes you different from all the other computer repair companies in your area. And, you know, number one, bring it to us. So people can drop it off to you for a flat rate, or you can come to their home. Not every computer business does that. Or you also serve small businesses, so you can go to their office.
Right.
So you're basically kind of giving your three main differentiators, what you do, what you're good at, and right there. So that's all on within the, you know, I don't barely have to scroll down your website and I get all of this great information very quickly, very easily, and probably right off the bat from those three things, I can tell if you're someone I want to do business with.
Right. I agree. That's the wonderful thing about the, you know, having all that stuff. And it's, you know, you alluded to it before, but what we talk about above the fold, and above the fold basically means that if you don't have to scroll, you want all your main information right up towards the top so that the person is not having to scroll all the way down the page to find, you know, the information.
Yeah.
Now, for the people that are looking for more information, you definitely can scroll down and get some more.
Exactly. And that's how you want to structure it, right? You want the simple key information at the top, and then to engage people who are interested, you make the homepage kind of big, right? You have all the key information at top, but then, you know, if people want to engage with you a little bit more, they start scrolling down. And then you have, you know, a bunch of, you know, a few paragraphs down at the bottom of actual text where people can read more in depth about your business. And then, of course, the contact form there. So once they're done reading about your business, they can just quickly fill out the contact form. And I think that's something a lot of computer businesses don't do, and they should be doing, as having a contact form on your homepage. Because these days, especially younger generation, sometimes are wary of calling someone right off the bat. They might be afraid you're going to like try to hard sell them or something. So they might just instead, a little bit of a softer contact method is to send an email or fill out a form. And I think a lot of computer business might be missing out on potential leads by not having an easy to access contact form right there on the homepage.
Well, and the other thing with that too is if a lot of people are, you know, I see all kinds of contacts at 2 o'clock in the morning when, you know, my phone, if you can call my phone and it's going to go right to voicemail,
right,
and, you know, somebody can leave a message or whatever, but this is kind of, they're already on the web. They're already looking. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. They don't actually have to say anything. They can just type it in and get back, hey, how much would it cost to do this? And you can send a reply back. And a lot, I would say 9 times out of 10, people will provide me with their phone number. So in this case, I will always take that phone number and call back first because I'd rather have that point of contact and that, again, them talking to a real person, but it gets that contact form gets the business going.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So that, you know, and I mean, it's a website, so people are on the web already. So it's easier for them to just fill out a form than it is to pick up the phone. So that's the homepage. That's great. And, you know, there's some other optional things you can have, like social media buttons, maybe a map to your location, and you have all of that stuff at the bottom of your homepage. Again, not super important, but it's good to have it there. Now, well,
you know, oh. I was going to say one of the things. Yeah. So what I, even when I had, you know, kind of had built my own website and was, you know, playing around with some of the things in it, you know, I had sat there and tried to make a map because, you know, my house where I live now is a little more difficult to get back to if you're not familiar with the area, or, you know, even if you are kind of familiar with the area, it's kind of tucked back away, where before I was on kind of more of a main road, so it was easier to get to. So okay. For me, it was very important because I do have people to drop off. It's very important for me to have a map that they can basically click on. It takes them right to Google. They can type in their address and boom, it gives them driving directions right to my home.
Isn't isn't Google Maps a beautiful invention? Like,
awesome.
How did we survive before Google Maps?
I use it almost every day, which is just, it floors me. But yeah, it's great. Cause if you want to know how to get somewhere, whether it's, you know, 2 minutes away or 5 hours, it takes you right where you need to go.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, right there on your homepage at the bottom, if you know, someone could click on the map, click on your location, and then it pops up in Google Maps and they can type in their address to get directions to yours. And it's just, it's so simple. So cool. Yeah. Okay. So cool. So that's the homepage. And that's where you get the information quickly in case someone, you know, is in a rush or they need to just make a decision really quick. But there's also the folks who really want to kind of dig in and learn more about you before they take the step to actually contacting you or contacting your business. So a couple things that you can use to push them over the edge. One of the most important things is testimonials. So you want to make sure that you have testimonials from previous clients on your website, because those are real people who have used your services, and that goes a long way to convincing a new client who's never heard of you maybe to maybe give you a shot, because you have, you know, you have testimonials from people who are saying good experiences they had with you. And so with the testimonials, you know, it's good to have like a picture of the person who left the testimonial. Of course, you want to get permission from your client first, but a lot of times they're willing to let you do that, especially if it really is a good review. So have a picture, maybe have a link to a website of theirs if they have a website. Just anything you can do to kind of prove that that's a real person that's leaving that testimonial. But having either a separate page for testimonials, or in your case, you have the testimonials showing at the bottom of every page. So that's good. So no matter what page the person is on, they can see those testimonials kind of scrolling by. But yeah, to have either on the homepage, on some page, or a dedicated page of testimonials, it can go a long way to helping convert visitors into paying customers.
Right.
Also, another thing you want to pay attention to is your services, right? So once someone gets to your website, they're like, okay, this website looks good. This looks like a professional, legit business. Then they see the testimonials. They're like, oh, okay, this people actually use this business and they have good experiences. But can this person actually provide me the specific service that I need? So that's where you can start getting into the nitty gritty of details, is on a separate services page, where you can list the services separately on their own pages, like you have under your services page, separate boxes with each service that they can then click on and get details about that particular service. And I would recommend for each service to really go into detail about what you do, what kind of services you provide. Because sometimes people are, not only is that good for SEO, and we'll get into SEO in a little bit, but it's also if someone's visiting your site and they're like, you know, they have a specific problem, like the W key on my keyboard doesn't work and I need to find someone to fix that. So they come to your site, they say, okay, he does computer repair, but can he repair keyboards? So that's where you do your feature dump, right? Instead of on the homepage, you go to the services page and you can just do a brain dump of everything you can think of that you can fix. You put underneath your services page. That way, if someone's really looking, they want to know specifically before they call you, they want to know if you can fix what they have. That's where you want to make sure you address any potential issues like that.
Right. And I'll say, yeah, so don't take mine as an example, because I only have one listed everything.
I know you're still kind of working on building it up.
It's definitely a work in progress. And I have been looking around and looking what other people do. And so I will definitely add some more down the road as we continue to go. But mine's just kind of simple. And, you know, the other thing that I kind of liked about the services was that I added a picture of me actually working on whatever it is what I was talking about. So, you know,
that's another good point. Pictures of you, of actually you or whoever your employees or whatever in the shop working on computers. Yeah, that's gold, because that, you know, that just helps people relate to you better. That and videos. If you can record a quick video of you just doing a quick repair, or even you just saying, hi, welcome to my website, and throw that up on YouTube and then embed that in your website, it can take, you know, no more than an hour to set all of that up. Record a quick video, put it up on YouTube, then embed it in your website. That goes a long way in building, again, building that trust. And that's really what you're doing with your website, is you're slowly building trust with the person who's visiting it. So they see good design, good contact information, good testimonials. The person's real. Here's some pictures. Here's some videos. This is a real person. They're not afraid to put themselves out there. So it's not like a faceless corporation. All of this stuff goes into building trust for someone to finally pull the trigger and contact you.
And for a lot of those, you know, so I, again, not to be narcissistic or anything like that, I didn't want to have my face all over these, but as I was working on computers, I'm a great hand model. So I basically was taking pictures from, you know, the neck or chest down of me actually working on something, even though it's me, it's real, and, you know, they're my pictures, so I don't have to worry about copyright infringement or anything like that. But it just kind of shows a real person actually working on it versus, you know, a lot of times people get stock photos, which again is fine, but it doesn't take that long to take some decent pictures of you working on, you know, different products.
Yeah. And don't, I would say, don't worry about feeling like you're being narcissistic if you have your face all over your site. Now, of course, if you have your face like floating in the corner and you have your face on the sidebar and you have your face in the logo, and okay, yeah, that's a little crazy, but having, you know, on maybe every other page or something like that, having a picture that's clearly you, doing work or having a video or something like that. I think that, you know, if another tech visits your site and they're like, oh, that Jeff, he just likes having his face on his website. But for a customer to see, you know, you there working, because again, you never know what page they're going to land on. So if they land on your computer repair service page, then they would never have seen your homepage with your picture on it. So you might want to have a picture of you on that repair page. And then maybe a caption under the picture saying, owner Jeff Flash fixing a laptop screen or something.
Right.
That way they know that that's actually you and not just some stock photo. Some things I see on other business sites is they just have a picture of like the storefront or something like that. So when someone visits, they know they're in the right spot. But just, you know, a consistent reminder of your brand, who you are, that you're a real person, that you're a trustworthy person, and make sure you do that on every page. Cause again, you never know what page the visitor might be landing on.
That's a good point. Yeah. Very good point. All right. I'm going to add more pictures of my face on there.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. I think those are really the big things. Everything else is just bonus, is just, extra, you know, you can have like links to you can have forms that people can fill out to like intake forms and stuff like that you can get set up on like Repair Shopper or some of these other services. You have, you know, links to like the certifications you have and all of that stuff. That's extra and that, you know, can't hurt. But a lot of times it's people, especially if they're not technical, their eyes just kind of gloss over that stuff. They don't know what an A+ is. They don't know what a Microsoft certified is. They don't know what any of that stuff is. So they're just looking for what they know, which is, I have a broken computer. I need it fixed. Can this guy help me? Is he trustworthy? Number one, is he trustworthy? Number two, can he fix exactly what I have broken? And number three, how can I contact him? Oh, there's a phone number right there at the top. So I think as far as that's concerned, your website's looking pretty good.
Now, okay, so we've kind of covered the website, and there's some things that you can do on the website that will actually help with the SEO, or, you know, the what is that called? The
SEO?
Yeah, I remember the acronym. I can't remember what it stands for.
Search engine optimization.
There you go. I couldn't remember the S. Anyways, search engine optimization. So, you know, in a lot of people will look at SEO, and some people will say voodoo. Yeah. And other people will go, oh, no, it's legit. And I will tell you from my standpoint, and then I want you to go into what makes good SEO on a website. But from my standpoint, I've done nothing except organic SEO that I never had to think about. I just always put good content on whatever I was doing, and that has brought me straight up to the top each and every time.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So SEO, you know, gets a bad rap sometimes because there's a lot of like quote unquote SEO experts out there who are charging an arm and a leg to, and they don't really say what they're doing, and it's just supposed to work and people don't know. There's that part of it. And then there's also, there's so much information about SEO out there that it can be overwhelming.
Right.
You know, you have the on-page ranking factors, you have backlinking, you have keywords, you have, you know, all of this stuff, and it could just drive you crazy. But that being said, SEO is a thing, and, you know, search engines have an algorithm that they use to rank pages, and of course they don't tell you what those algorithms are, but there's, you know, you just have to know that Google is building its algorithm to try as hard as possible to make the top results be relevant and be the best results for whatever the person searched for. And there's a lot of people out there who have speculation about what Google looks for. But really there are some just key main simple, low-hanging fruit things that you can do to make sure that your SEO is solid. And then from there, things kind of take care of themselves. You know, you don't necessarily need to dig into the weeds to get, squeeze every last drop of SEO out of your site. So some of those things are, good site structure. And what I mean by that is that you don't have a bunch of crazy animations. You don't have a bunch of weird things popping up and hiding and just making it confusing. You know, you want the title of your website at the top. For you, it's TechNut. That's your logo at the top, and then a navigation menu. And then you want the title of the page underneath that. So like right now I'm on your about page. And so it says about, and then underneath that, it's got the information. And then you break up the information into different headings, and those headings, are descriptive about what is underneath the heading. So, for example, like your about page, what you could have is, for example, the title could be about TechNut computer repair or something like that. So you want to make your headings as descriptive as possible, because the search engines look at the headings and to figure out what that page is about. So you can say like about TechNut PC, and then have a paragraph. And then underneath that, you can say about the founder, Jeffrey Hallisch. Maybe that can be another section, in case someone is looking up your name. Like maybe they're looking up Jeff Hallisch TechNut to see what comes up. You want your about page to be the first thing that comes up. In order to do that, you want to make sure that you include your name in a heading somewhere on that about page. So you can have, you know, about Jeff Hallisch, owner of TechNut, and then underneath that heading you talk about yourself a little bit, and then you have the TechNut difference, that's another heading, and then you talk about what makes you different than other companies. So you first and foremost, you want your visitors' experience in mind. So that, so to make headings descriptive is first and foremost to help your visitors know what they're reading about. But it also, the extra benefit of that is that's also what search engines are looking for, to see how relevant your page is to whatever topic. And it's looking at the headings, and then it's looking at what links you have on your page. So another big win that a lot of people don't do is to do interlinking. So you want to link, for example, from your about page, you could link from your about page to some of your services. So for example, if you're talking about, like one sentence you have, I started TechNut Computer Repair because I have a passion for helping people solve their computer problems. You can turn that phrase, solve their computer problems, into a link, and that links to one of your services, like your computer repair service. What that does is, you know, search engines love links, and they use links to get context from different websites. So they'll follow that link. They'll see what the words are that you're linking, and the words are solve computer problems. So it's saying those words, solve computer problems, are being linked to a page. The page that it's linking to probably has something to do with solving computer problems. So that's going to give you some extra boost to that page you're linking to let Google know that that page is relevant to solving computer problems. And you can do that within your own website, and that adds to the credibility of the different pages on your website. So you just want to look throughout the different content of the different pages of your website and look for ways you could link back and forth between different pages. Not only does that help with search engines, but again, that helps the visitor's experience because they know how to navigate through your website other than using the navigation bar at the top. They can see that link about solving computer problems. They're like, oh, hey, I have a computer problem. Let me click on that link. That takes them straight to the service page where they can read more about how you can help them fix their computer problems.
That's great. You know what? That's something I didn't even realize that you could actually link to your own pages. You know, yep. And the other thing too is a lot of people don't realize is that if you try to game your SEO at all, here's one guarantee. Google changes their algorithms probably, if not every 6 months, you know, maybe even monthly on a lot of these things. But I think the things that Matt is talking about is the solid things that are going to, that a search engine has to use in order to get the information it needs to make a good qualified decision on where you rank on their pages.
Right. And the key is to not think of it as SEO, because if you start thinking of it as SEO, then you pick like a keyword and you make it bold, and then you link that to a page that has the same title as that keyword. And then that, you know, like computer repair can, and then you have a link computer repair can that links to a page called computer repair can. And then in that page, computer repair can, you have a bunch of headings that say computer repair can. So that's, you know, you're thinking, oh, this is going to be great because then this page is going to rank super high for computer repair can. When in reality, Google can sniff that stuff out and it says, oh yeah, this guy's just, you know, trying to rank high for this keyword, and, you know, thumbs down. Let's move that down the ranks. So, right. So yeah, it's all about user experience. It's all about making, it's all about relevancy. So linking to pages using relevant words, not necessarily the exact keyword, but just like the example I gave, you know, fix your computer problems. And a cool and easy way to do that is, and another big thing that helps your SEO is blogging. There's a bunch of things that helps. Number one, that helps keep your website relevant in the eyes of Google, because a lot of times your homepage and the services page don't change too much. But if you know, maybe once or twice a week you get a quick blog post out there, that's going to show Google that, hey, this site is still relevant. It keeps up with the latest whatever. It keeps publishing new content. So you can blogging is something that's kind of scary. It's something you kind of have to remember to do. But really, you can blog about, first of all, I would recommend creating a blog, you know, one blog post per thing that you repair. So for example, like just going back to your services page and going to your computer repair page, you have virus removal as one bullet point. So you can write a post about maybe a virus removal you did in the past that went wrong, or maybe some tips on how to keep your computer clear of viruses. That's one or two or three blog posts. Then your next service, reinstallation of operating system. So write a quick blog post about how to do a quick OS reinstall, or a checklist of things you could keep in mind when you do a OS reinstall. So these are things, you know, these are things that are kind of no-brainers to you, but would be super valuable information to your clients and visitors of your website. And then you make it relevant by mentioning the services you offer. And then in each of those blog posts, you link somewhere within the content of that blog post back to your services page where you offer that service. So you're killing a bunch of birds with a bunch of stones here. you got relevant content. You're doing interlinking back and forth between your different pages. You're providing fresh content for your visitors. You're providing things that you can upload to social media, so you can have all these blog posts that are keep your social media accounts fresh with all these new blog posts. You're providing value to your customers. You're providing more pages that Google could crawl and put in the search results. So you never know. It's amazing when you start blogging, the way people find you. It's one word in a blog post you wrote 3 months ago can all of a sudden become popular, and people are searching for it on Google, and all of a sudden they're just flooding your website because of this one thing you happened to write about that you didn't even think would make a difference. And all of a sudden people are visiting your page because of it.
And again, don't take my website as an example, because Matt literally has been telling me for years that, you know, not me personally, but just in listening to his shows and different things that he does, that, you know, a blog is something that we all need to do. And it's one of those things that I have not done yet. I've had a blog page for years, actually, and I haven't used it yet. So, but I will definitely, it's one of my goals, especially coming up in 2016. Now, what would you say, how often should you write a new piece of content? Would once a month be fine, or every other week, or how would you measure that?
It's, you know, I would say as often as you can. I mean, it's, if I say you should do it once a week, then folks out there who don't have the time to do it once a week are going to say, ah, you know, forget it. I'm just not going to make a blog. Or if I say, you know, even if it's once a quarter, you know, okay. whenever you have time, just get something out there, because again, the benefits, you know, come the more often you do it. So just keep that in mind. The more often you can do it, the better. But whatever time you have. So for example, for you, you know, you're really good about doing your podcasts at regular intervals, and you've got a schedule going and stuff. So like that, just make some time during the week, even if it's just, you know, 30 minutes on Friday afternoon, you can schedule out a time to, and dedicate that time to do nothing but write blog posts. And if it's something you're familiar with, you can knock out a couple, you know, two or three blog posts in 30 minutes to an hour. And then you can, you know, have those ready to schedule out. So you know, if you're using WordPress, or even TechSite Builder does this, you can create, you know, a bunch of blog posts at once and then set the date in the future so that they'll get published, you know, at certain intervals in the future. That way you can kind of batch your blogging. But yeah, I mean, just try to schedule some time regularly where you can write blog posts. And at first, you know, don't get too caught up on making it super revolutionary content, or making it thousands of words, or anything like that. Just almost treat it as a diary, and just maybe talk about a couple, repair jobs you did, or a couple, maybe a pet peeve of yours. You know, you can use it to vent. Anything, just get them going regularly, and it's really going to make a big difference, because that's content that you can, again, people can find your site by through those posts.
All right, and I think you just let the cat out of the bag with Tech Site Builder. So there are ways that you could do this and put your own website together. There are things that you could, you know, spend the wee hours of the morning just kind of putting something together and working on it over and over and over again, and learning how to do each and every one of these things, whether it's an HTML or WordPress. But what I will say is that Matt has come up with a phenomenal product. I've been using it for months now. It's been by far, and I've set up three separate websites, it's by far the easiest time that I've had in putting together a website with Tech Site Builder, because he went to the community and said, what types of things are you looking for on a website? And we all kind of came back to him and said, here's what we're looking for. We want this, 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 and this. And he said, okay, great. And what's really nice is that Matt is constantly changing and upgrading. If I send him off an email, and not that everybody can do this, but I can. If I send him off an email and said, hey, Matt, what about this? And, you know, within a week or so, he'll say, hey, here, check this out. See if this will work. And I'm like, oh, cool. And that's perfect. And the reason I do that is because it not only does it help me out, but it also helps other people out that need the same types of things. So go ahead and tell us about Tech Site Builder and some of the things that it can do for, from a brand new tech to a tech that's been in the business for the last 20 years and literally has an old HTML website that was built in 1990.
Yeah. So yeah, for those guys, stop what you're doing right now and do whatever you can to update your website, because you're losing clients if you still have your 1990s, you know, animated GIFs and
oh my,
all of that stuff. Yeah, so TechSite Builder. So folks listening who've listened to Podnuts for a while might be familiar with TechSite Builder. It was originally started by Steve Cherubino, and it was a cool product when he started. It started off as a HTML template, and then he released a TechSite Builder version 2, which was a WordPress template. And it was really cool because it was like a package deal. You got the template and then you also got all these videos where he would walk you through how to set it up and how to do a bunch of stuff. So that was cool. And then, you know, once Steve got out of the business, I acquired Tech Site Builder from him. And I spent the last year and a half kind of just revamping it from the ground up. And so as I was redeveloping Tech Site Builder to make it a brand new service, I had three things that I wanted to keep in mind as I was building it. And that was I wanted it to be quick for techs to get a website up. I wanted it to be easy for them to do it so they don't have to worry about coding. They don't have to worry about finding hosting. They don't have to worry about, learning, reading manuals or watching hundreds of videos to figure out how to do it. Just really intuitive is the word, I guess, I would use.
Right.
So quick, easy, and effective. So make it so that the website is geared towards computer business owners. Because you can go out and you can, you know, install WordPress and grab a template. But that template is, you know, probably not geared for computer businesses. So Tech Site Builder template, has everything geared towards computer businesses. It's got, you know, a place where you can list your services. It's got a place where you can list testimonials. It lets you put your address and phone number, if you want to, in the header. It's got, like we talked about, Google Maps. It makes it really easy to add a Google map to your website. All the things that I talked about that are important for a computer business website, you can really quickly get it up on your Tech Site Builder website. In fact, you know, I had a goal of mine in making the new version was to have it so that from when you sign up to when you have a passable website, basically something that you would be proud to put up in public, I wanted that whole process to take no longer than an hour. So I really fine-tuned the process to be where you sign up, you build your website, and you can make it live in under an hour. And I think that's actually what you did, Jeff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right? I will say that it was very easy. And for the most part, I mean, not everything when it comes to software and web pages and stuff is intuitive, but it was easy enough to figure out to get all the main things up, especially on my homepage, get it up and running, and then I could go in there and tweak it and build it up over time. And I'll go back to another point that you just said. You could do your own, and I will tell you, I bought a $70 template that was designed for computer repair, and I'm going to tell you right now that I tried to set it up on a mock setup, and when I went in there to look at it and all the code and all the things you had to do, I would rather stick a fork in my eye, and I'm not kidding you, okay? Because it was so painful just to make tiny little changes. It would have literally, even though I had the template, it would have taken me probably weeks and maybe even months to get it up and running. And I was already paying for hosting anyway, so we're going to get into this a little bit, but you know, you've got hosting, which Matt is doing, plus the website that all you do is put your content in. Everything's ready to go. And, you know, a lot of people go, well, I don't want it to look like everybody else's. But I'll tell you from the standpoint of he's doing so many things to the back end of being able to change colors and stuff. You can make it your own and design it exactly how you want it for your business. Because let's face it, websites only have so much of the same style comment or content anyway on those sites. So
I've heard some people say that, like, you know, a template cut style website like Tech Site Builder websites, you know, they look similar. So you can, if you visit a computer repair website, you could, if you know what you're looking at, you can tell if it's a Tech Site Builder site or not.
Right.
But that only matters to other technicians. That doesn't matter to your client. What matters to your client is all the stuff we talked about. Can they contact you? Do they trust you? They probably, you know, chances are 99% chance that your site is going to be unique to them when they visit it.
Exactly.
It's not like they're, you know, looking at other computer businesses across the nation and they're saying, oh, you know, this website has a similar template to this other website of a computer business halfway across the country. So, I mean, the fact that it's a template site, it's kind of cookie cutter-ish or whatever, it's really irrelevant to the main benefit of Tech Site Builder, which is to have a website that gets the job done for your computer business.
Exactly. And again, you make it so that you can still tailor it to, you can add as many pages as you want. You can do as many different things as you want. And to me, the most important thing has always been that front page. When somebody types in technutpc.com and they come to my front page, I want them to see me, the message about what I do, and my phone number, give me a call. Or if you don't want to do that, send the information through a contact form and it will get to me and we'll take care of it from there. So I'm telling you, this was, because I hate building websites, okay? And I've done Tech Site Builder 1, which was a process. And yes, Steve had awesome videos that walked me right through it. I did Tech Site Builder 2, same thing. Awesome videos, walked me. It still took me hours and hours and hours to get it up and running. But this one, in less than an hour, I had a up and running website ready to go. And appreciate all the things that I'm able to do with it that gets that information to my customer.
Yeah, and one thing I forgot to mention, and again, everything I'm mentioning, so to keep this from sounding like a commercial for Tech Site Builder, I mean, all of the things we're mentioning, you can do on your own, on whatever website platform you choose. Another thing I forgot to mention, though, is mobile responsiveness. And that's becoming a bigger and bigger issue these days, is making sure that your website looks good if someone's visiting it on a mobile phone, because... you know, depending on your area and depending on the kind of clients you're attracting, you could have up to half of your visitors visiting you on a mobile phone, coming to your website on a mobile phone. So you want it to not only, you know, be visible on a mobile phone, but you want it to be optimized for the mobile experience. So again, with your site and with Tech Site Builder sites in general, if you were to visit it on a mobile device, you would see everything laid out nice and neat. You have your logo at the top. You have your phone number right underneath that. The phone number is clickable. So if someone presses it with their finger on the phone, it'll open up your phone number in their phone so they can call you really quickly. You have your address, and then all the other stuff is mobile optimized. So even if you don't use Tech Site Builder, I think all of the stuff we're talking about, you just want to make sure that you have it implemented on your website in one way or another. And also, mobile optimization is now a ranking factor in search results. Google uses it to determine how well your site ranks. It looks to see, is this site mobile responsive? If it is, we're going to give it a little bit more of a boost in the results because of that.
Right. Yeah, and the, like I said, in there are some sites that will do mobile responsiveness poorly, and there are websites that do it right. And with Tech Site Builder, I will say that Matt has got it to where it does it perfectly right on any size device, and that makes it nice. And it gives that relevant information so that somebody can get to you, which is what we really want. I mean, if you're a web designer, that's one thing. But what I've noticed is, even people that are web designers that are computer repair shops, a lot of times their websites are not all that great. And here's the reason why. Nobody likes working on their own stuff. So exactly. Even if you do website design, you really don't, you just kind of throw something up and you get it out there so that it will have a landing page for your customers. But you don't really want to spend a whole lot of time on it. So I think even for those people, you can have something that's up and running in a short period of time. And Matt, I'll correct you on something. This is a commercial for your product because I believe in it that much that I believe anybody can get involved and have a website up and running that looks phenomenal and works phenomenally great. And I will just tell you an SEO story. I used the Tech Site Builder 1 which was an HTML, basically a landing page is all it was. I used Tech Site Builder 2, which was WordPress. When I went from the Tech Site Builder 1 to Tech Site Builder 2, I was getting about the same SEO. Now, Matt had come in, he bought Tech Site Builder, and he basically was able to, he kind of built some SEO in the back end, just some natural stuff that you would put on a WordPress page in order to make it, you know, relevant information for your business, where you're located, all that kind of stuff. I put that information in there. Boom, my ranking went right up for a lot of keywords that I you know, basically use. Computer, Canton, Michigan. Boom, it was right there. You know, computer repair near me. Boom, all that stuff was there. And these are, a lot of people will say, well, you know, you were logging your browser. No, these are outside computers, not logged in, all that kind of stuff, just to test and see how it works. And I will tell you, when I finally took Tech Site Builder, which is, you know, my third iteration of using it, that the ranking went up even more. I actually turned my Google AdWords off. They've been off the whole month of September. And the keywords that I was just talking about, I'm still, not only does it come up with my, where I rank on the Google Maps, but I also come organically up in the first or second position with certain keywords. And I believe that is in a lot in a part of the Tech Site Builder, because it's got good relevant information. And a lot of times when I was doing, back in the day when I was just doing the HTML page, a lot of that was taking pictures with text and putting it into certain portions of the page, which everybody knows Google doesn't read text that I know of inside of a picture. So, right. Yep. I mean, they might get to that point one day, but they don't. So with a WordPress page, you've got all this information you're writing in there, and that's what Google's searching for. And when it finds that information, it's talking about computer repair, virus removal, so on and so forth, it's going to put that up there. Or, you know, Canton, Michigan, where I'm located. It's going to give that relevant information to the Google search engine so that you're going to rank higher. So I've seen it go up from every iteration that I've used so far, and this is by far the best.
That's good to hear. Yeah, it's definitely good to hear that it's being applied in the real world and it's working, because, you know, I coded the site to be SEO friendly, and I try to do as much as I can to give a good base. But then, yeah, it's good to hear back from actual users to hear that all that trouble was worth it. And yeah. It's working. So that's good.
You've done, you've done a great job as far as, you know, creating this so that it's easy to use. And not only that, I mean, one of the first feedback that you got, I think, was, you know, some people were confused about a couple things, but what you did, you put some videos together. So when you get signed up, you can go watch in their short videos, you go watch them, and it doesn't take very long to do it. And boom, you can go on from, you know, step A to, you know, step Z, and be done, like I said, you know, in less than an hour.
Yeah, and that's the thing I really liked about the previous versions of Tech Site Builder was Steve had those videos that he walked you through how to set it up and everything. And even though I think I made the dashboard for Tech Site Builder fairly intuitive, you know, there is kind of a process you have to go through at first to get everything set up initially. So yeah, I have videos right there in your dashboard that you can just click and play and watch to get your site set up. And then, you know, in the future, I plan on rolling out more videos, you know, training videos on kind of what I went over here with SEO and how to, you know, engage visitors on your website, how to write a good blog post, you know, just good website tip videos and all of that stuff. So I really like the idea of instructional videos to help keep you, you know, if you want to dig deeper into making your website super effective, you watch those videos and spend as much time as you feel like you want to make your website awesome.
And I will tell you, there is probably a lot of people out there that they will get right into this and they will be able to, boom, they won't even have to watch the videos. It probably is intuitive for people like me where, you know, I mean, I love tools like Photoshop, but to be honest with you, when I get inside Photoshop and I have to use it, and I don't use it that often, my eyes cross. Right. And I get really, really confused, and I have to go back and I've got to watch a video on, how do I cut a picture out again? Wait, how do I crop this? You know, how do I change a word? You know, and so all these different things that we do, it's like, I love learning new software, but I hate learning new software. So it's, you know, he's done it to where it doesn't matter what level you're at. You know, you know what? If you don't really want to even think about it, watch the videos, put it together, and you go, hey, that looks great. That's awesome. And then you go, hey, I got this idea. Can I do this? And you go back in and you go, oh, yeah, that's available. I can change that. And that's what I've done over the past few months, is just change things a little bit at a time. As I, you know, I got the front page set up, which was important to me. And then I built some other things in as I'm going. And I'm still working on it. It's not a finished project.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, and that's a perfect example of what you can do with a website. Is a lot of people want to wait until their website is perfect and has all of the content and every possible thing available before they make it live. When really the most important thing is to just get it up with the information, the important information, and then over time, you know, when you have time on the weekend or in the evenings or whatever, just spend a little bit of time adding more information, adding more services, maybe adding a blog post or adding more pictures or whatever. But yeah, it's definitely always going to be a work in progress. And you always, you know, from time to time, just you want to think about your website and take a look at it and make sure it still is relevant and it's still up to date, because increasingly, and it's not going to go downward. The trend is going upward. People are going to be learning first about your business through your website. So you always kind of want to just keep it in the back of your mind, keep it updated, keep it fresh, and not just neglect it.
You know, speaking of updates, so here's the other thing that you have to deal with when you do your own WordPress site. You basically have to make sure that not only is your WordPress updated on a regular basis as they're fixing the holes that the bad guys are getting in, you also have to make sure that all your plugins are updated. So what Matt has done is, in creating this all-in-one product, is he's basically taken a product and said, you know what, you don't have to do any of that stuff. And it kind of goes back to what a lot of us technicians do, is managed services. Basically, what he is doing is we've talked about this before, a form of managed service for your website that you don't have to deal with. And this is what we do for our customers. So I'm good at removing viruses. I'm good at taking apart laptops. That's what I do. I am not good at website design. I know what looks good to my eye, but I don't want to sit there and try to figure out where I need to put everything. And he's got the template set up so that you can get in there and do it however you want. And you look at it a couple months down the road and you go, well, yeah, I'm going to change this. And you can, you know, and that's kind of what makes it nice. So you don't have to update it. You don't have to do anything. Just, you know, plug and play, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yeah. It's almost turnkey. But it is a builder. So you know, you sign up and hosting and everything, like you said, is taken care of for you. So you really just need to dig in and add your information and set up a couple pages and you're good to go. And that was a big back and forth debate between myself and I when I was putting this together. Do I have it be a fully hosted service, or do I just release it as a template like the previous tech site builders? And for the reason you mentioned, is the reason that I have it as a fully hosted service is that I can roll out updates. Because one of the kind of the frustrations with TechSite Builder 2 for me after I took it over was anytime, you know, there was a bug or anytime I needed to update something, I had to email all of the clients saying, hey, there's a new version of TechSite Builder. Now come download it, install it, make sure it works, and run through all this stuff anytime I wanted to make an update. So that was not only annoying for me, but it was super annoying for you guys, because you'd have to spend time to, you know, learn how to download and reinstall the new version and all that stuff. So making it fully hosted means that I can roll out updates, I can roll out bug fixes instantaneously, and those fixes apply to every single TechSite Builder website that's out there. And it's just a really easy way for me to make sure your website is super fast, super secure, free of bugs, and that it just works, you know, and that's really the crux of it, is that you're used to things breaking because people are bringing broken computers to you all the time. So you don't want to have to deal with also a broken website on top of all that stuff. You just want your website to work. And that's the promise of TechSite Builder, is that I'm just going to make sure that your website works for you and it's always up to date and it's always secure. So you don't have to worry about that.
Excellent. Yes, I 100% agree. Again, it's one of those things where it's something that I don't have to worry about. So I, you know, it's set up and I'm ready to go, and I let it do its thing. And, you know, quite honestly, there's a lot of times where, you know, with regular WordPress sites, I was having to do the, you know, constantly checking to see if there was updates, but this, I kind of just like, I set it up, I let it go. It does what I need to do. People are calling me. I'm servicing their computers, taking care of them. And then when I have some time, I go back in, but I don't have to worry about updates or none of that stuff. And it's so nice to have that ability to just, hey, it's working in the background. It's running. Let it, you know, let it go and do its thing.
Cool. Yeah. So that's great. I'm so glad to hear that it's working well for you. And that was my goal.
So now, is there anything else that we haven't covered, you know, as far as here's my thing, is I would encourage each and every person out there, whether you think you have a good website or not, I would encourage you to go ahead and try this product out and just, you know what, put something together. Like I said, hey, is it worth an hour of your time to get something up and running and going? yeah, I can work with this. This is gonna save me time and effort, and I can go back to doing the things that I actually get paid for. Because guess what? When you're doing your own website, you're not getting paid for that time. So, right. You know, it's a loss at that point. So you got to figure out whether it's worth it for you or not. And again, with the hosting and everything all included, the price, in my opinion, and I'll let Matt share this in a little bit, is phenomenal for what you get.
Yeah. And speaking of trying it out, I'm trying something out right now. This is new. I just started this today, actually. I'm setting it up so that you can try TechSite Builder for 14 days for $1. So basically you just pay $1. You can try TechSite Builder for 14 days. So you got 2 weeks to kick the tires and you know, see if it'll work for you. And then after that, you know, I have two plans. Either you can pay monthly or you can pay annually. If you pay annually, it's you get 2 months for free. So monthly it's $19 a month, and annually it's $190 a year. And that gets you, you know, all future updates and gives you the TechSite Builder website. But yeah, if you want to try it out, just $1 for 14 days, and that's something new I'm trying out. So I'm not sure I'm going to keep that trial, that $1 trial. It's kind of an experiment that I wanted to try out for listeners of your podcast. So if they did, if they weren't, you know, if they were still kind of thinking, well, I'm not sure I have an existing website, I don't know if this is going to really be as easy as they say it is, you know, just try it out and see if it is. I'm confident that it will be, but you know, sometimes you need to kick the tires a little bit before you commit. And I understand that. So that's why I'm offering that $1 trial.
Oh, that's great. And I definitely appreciate that, Matt. I'll tell you, these things don't come by that often where you're going to have somebody that's going to offer you, you know, the ease of use of getting in and just giving it a try and seeing if it's going to work for you. And I'll tell you right now, guys, and a lot of people have been talking about this on other podcasts. You know, I listen to yours, obviously, Matt, and, you know, TechNibble and stuff like that. But a lot of people have been talking about the, you know, the pricing and time and what is your time worth type of thing. And the reality is, you know, if you're only making $19 an hour, you know, or even if you were only making $19 an hour, okay, obviously you're putting more hours in the month than the $19 an hour, you know, $19 is worth. So from that standpoint, to spend $19 for something that you don't really have to make sure it's updated and spend that time on, then it's going to be well worth that little bit of cost in order to be able to do that. And, you know, again, something you don't have to worry about. If something breaks, guess what? Matt's in the back end fixing it, and you're not.
there.
So it, to me, that makes it, you know, well worth putting the, you know, the money towards that. Plus, if you think about what you pay for hosting, you're paying about half that, and sometimes even more, depending on the type of hosting you're getting, just to have the hosting. And then if you're paying for a WordPress template, because God forbid if you're doing your own, you're spending all this money anyways. And not only that, look at it this way. If you guys are running a legitimate computer repair business and paying your taxes, as you should, then you know what? This is 100% tax write-off. So instead of the government keeping the money, you are using it to grow your business and make it better. And that means that the government's going to allow you to take that off of what you're grossing every year, so that you have a bigger net at the end instead of a smaller net. That makes sense.
Tax tips with Jeff Hallish.
There you go. Not that I'm a tax consultant, and don't take anything I say except with a grain of salt. And yeah, that'll be it. Matt, I am thoroughly excited. I know this has been a long project that you have been working on tirelessly for a long time. You've gotten a lot of feedback from a lot of us in the community. And guys, I don't say, Matt and I are friends, but I do not say this. Anybody that knows me knows that I don't just give praise where praise is not due. If you're doing something I don't like, you know, I usually will say it. So I'll say it nicely, but I'll usually say it. And I'm going to tell you that in my opinion, this is a hit out of the park that Matt has put together for each and every one of us that doesn't want to or shouldn't be dealing with our own websites. So I encourage every one of you, he's given us a great deal, $1 for 14 days. Try it out. It's $1. You know, again, you can write that dollar off on your taxes, okay? Or, you know, you can, you know, skip the double cheeseburger at McDonald's. I don't know, whatever.
Right.
Matt, do you have any lasting words that you want to give to the audience before we sign off here?
No, just, you know, I appreciate the feedback from you while we were going through the beta testing of this. And you know, this is just a passion of mine. And this is something I love doing. I love providing a service that takes, you know, what I'm good at, which is web development and all of that stuff, and providing a service for the community that I've, you know, grown to love over the past few years that I've been in the business, and you know, giving back to the community and giving you guys something that's useful that you can use to grow your computer business. And so it's just, I'm really excited about it, and I love hearing the good feedback about it. And whether you decide to use TechSite Builder or not, I would just, you know, urge you guys to take another look at your website, make sure, you know, you've got some of the things we talked about, making sure it's effective, making sure that it's doing what you need it to do for your clients, making it simple, making it look professional, and then keeping some of those SEO things in mind. And then, you know, revisiting it every so often just to make sure that it's still working for you. It's just one of those things in your business that you just got to keep taking a look at to make sure it's doing what you want it to do.
Well, Matt, I appreciate you coming out and sharing with us. And if people wanted to get in contact with you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, you can learn more about TechSite Builder at techsitebuilder.com. And also you can contact me through my other website, yfncg.com. That's the blog where I talk about different topics around the computer repair industry. That's where you can find my podcast, the Computer Business Podcast. And you can reach out to me at either of those places, and I'd love to hear from you.
And I just have to say, great podcast, by the way. You've been really bringing Paco's definitely adding some flavor to the podcast, and also the guests you've been bringing in is great, relevant information that can help each and every one of us.
Yeah, Paco. Oh, I'm so glad we got Paco as the co-host of the Computer Business Podcast, because he's a really sharp guy. His business is growing, and he definitely adds a lot to it. And so it's definitely injected some new life into the podcast, and I'm excited to see where we're going to go with it from here.
Excellent. All right, you guys can find me on the Google Plus at Jeffrey Hallish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on this show, email me at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. And I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. Don't forget, if you guys need business paperwork to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNibble Computer Business Kit over at podnuts.com. You too can help support the Podnuts Network. The next time you're shopping at Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. My name is Jeff Hallish. I am the host of Podnuts, where Chris Carruthers and myself take live calls on the air to answer questions or to get answers from other computer repair techs every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/live. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.